Hello and welcome to ID the Future. I'm Casey Luskin, broadcasting with Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture in Seattle, Washington. Today we have in the studio with us Dr. Jonathan Wells, a senior fellow at the Center for Science and Culture. He's just published a fascinating new article in the journal Biocomplexity, a peer-reviewed open-access scientific journal that is the leading forum for testing the scientific merits of the claim that intelligent design is a credible explanation for life. At the heart of the scientific controversy over ID are questions having to do with the role and origin of information in living systems, and Dr. Wells' new article titled "Membrane Patterns Carry Ontogenetic Information That Is Specified Independently of DNA" attempts to address some of these important questions. So, Dr. Wells, thanks for coming on the show with us today.
Happy to be here, Casey.
So this is the first in a series of four interviews, maybe even more, where Dr. Wells is going to join us discussing his new article in Biocomplexity. We all know that DNA carries information, but today Dr. Wells is going to explain why DNA information in an embryo can only do its job in the context of spatial information that is specified independently of it. And some of that spatial information is carried by cell membranes. So the next two interviews after this one are going to talk about membrane information that comes in the forms of a sugar code and a bioelectric code. And the fourth interview will discuss what all this means for embryo development and evolution. So, Dr. Wells, let's get started talking about your new paper. Would you first summarize for us the main point of your article?
Sure. Ontogeny is the technical term for embryo development. Many people think that embryo development is controlled by a genetic program written in the DNA, but this is false. Actually, DNA is expressed differently in different cells depending on where they find themselves in the embryo. This requires spatial information that's there before the DNA is expressed, and my article deals with this spatial information, especially spatial information in the form of patterns in the membrane.
Can you give us some examples of embryos in which spatial information precedes DNA expression?
Sure. One embryo system that's been studied intensively is the fruit fly. Well, in the fruit fly egg, before fertilization, various RNAs have to be placed in the right positions in the egg in order for the egg to develop properly. Some go to the head or the anterior end. Some go to the tail or the posterior end. Some go elsewhere. These RNAs are put into the egg by the mother as the egg develops. The thing is, when these RNAs enter the egg, there's already a head and a tail. That's how they end up at the head or the tail, the anterior or the posterior. So the anterior-posterior axis in the egg is there before the DNA starts to do its job in the embryo. Another example would be a frog egg. Frog eggs don't have an anterior-posterior axis. That comes later. What they do have is what's called an animal-vegetal axis. The animal pole is covered with dark pigment. The vegetal pole is full of heavy yolk particles. And this animal-vegetal axis is the reference point for which the anterior-posterior and the dorsal-ventral axes of the tadpole are set up during development. Well, the frog egg, like the fruit fly egg, has its axis before the RNAs enter it from the mother to do their job. Those RNAs are then localized either to the animal pole or the vegetal pole or somewhere else in relation to that axis, but only because the axis is already there. So in both the fruit fly egg and the frog egg, the original body axis is put there before the embryo's DNA does anything at all. And it's put there by the ovary in the mother through processes that are mediated by the membrane and also by microscopic fibers in the cells called the cytoskeleton. Both of these features play a role. In my paper, I focus primarily on the membrane.
So how exactly do cell membranes carry information?
Cell membranes carry information because they're patterned. A cell membrane is made up of long molecules. Each one has an oily end and a water-loving end, an end that's attracted to water. These molecules, they're lipid molecules, they line up next to each other, and the oily end tries to avoid the aqueous liquid in which the cell finds itself. So these molecules make a bilayer with the oily ends buried deep in the membrane and the water-attracting parts of the molecule on the outer surface and the inner surface. So this is the lipid bilayer membrane that surrounds every living cell and separates it from its environment. Oh, and besides the lipids, there are many proteins embedded in this membrane. And biologists used to think that these proteins were free to diffuse through the membrane, like corks bobbing in water. That was in the 1970s. By the 1990s, biologists knew that proteins are usually not free to diffuse throughout the membrane. Instead, they form domains, spatial areas in the membrane, that are distinct from each other and give a pattern to the membrane that provides actually spatial coordinates for the cell.
Can you give us an example?
Sure. Fibroblasts. Fibroblasts are cells in embryos that migrate throughout the embryo to provide structural framework for tissues and organs. The fibroblast moves by synthesizing microfilaments from a protein called actin. The leading edge of the fibroblast is rich in these microfilaments, and that's what propels it through the embryo. Well, how does the fibroblast know to make actin in that particular spot? What happens is the cell receives a signal from outside of itself. That signal activates molecules in the cell membrane, and those receptors in the cell membrane then send out a signal into the cell that reorganizes the cytoskeleton. And then the cytoskeleton starts delivering actin RNA to the leading edge of the fibroblast so that it can manufacture more microfilaments. And then the fibroblast, because of that, migrates in the direction of the external cue. Embryos actually contain lots of migrating cells. The general term for them is mesenchyme or mesenchymal cells. They're very important because one class of them, for example, called the neural crest cells in a vertebrate, start out as part of the neural tube, which will form the brain and the spinal cord. But then at one point in development, they start migrating elsewhere to form facial structures, peripheral nerves, skin, and parts of the cardiovascular system. And after the mesenchymal cells do their migrating to their final destination, in many cases, they transform themselves into what are called epithelial cells. Epithelial cells are very different, whereas a mesenchymal cell, like a fibroblast, has a front-to-back polarity. An epithelial cell has a top-to-bottom polarity. It just sits in place, surrounded by other epithelial cells, to form a protective sheet. And this transformation from a mesenchymal cell with front-to-back polarity to the epithelial cell with top-down polarity requires a rearrangement of the patterns in the membrane. That's how the transformation is accomplished.
This is really fascinating stuff, Dr. Wells. Are there other examples of how membrane patterns carry information for embryo development?
Yes, there's some very good ones and well-studied ones. One system is called the sugar code. Another one is called the bioelectric code, which may sound a little science fiction-y, but cells are actually known to generate their own electric fields, and the patterns of those fields provide information for development. The same with the sugar code, and I can go into more detail in our next interview.
Sounds good. Well, thank you, Dr. Wells, for explaining to us about some of this information that is carried in animal embryos outside of the DNA. Again, we've been discussing a new article by Dr. Jonathan Wells titled "Membrane Patterns Carry Ontogenetic Information That Is Specified Independently of DNA." You can read the whole article. It's available free online at bio-complexity.org. Again, that's bio-complexity.org. So go check it out and stay tuned for more with Dr. Jonathan Wells on extra genetic information in embryos. I'm Casey Luskin with ID of the Future. Thanks for listening.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute 2014. For more information, visit www.intelligentdesign.org or www.idthefuture.com.